This is a podcast from WGBH Radio Boston. Hear more at wgbh.org/classical.
Hello, podcast listeners. This is Michelle Sweet, producer of Classical Connections. Do you get frustrated, irritated when you see any music written after 1900 on a concert program? Do clashing chords send you into a frantic state of mind? Well, if so, do not fear. This week on Classical Connections, we offer Gunther Schuller's Guide to Contemporary Music Listening.
It was in the early 1900s that composer Arnold Schoenberg explicitly did away with the musical language of Bach, Beethoven, and Brahms. And from there, it wasn't too long before he devised what's called the 12-tone system for music making. And ever since, audience responses have ranged from confusion to outrage to fascination. While atonality shocked and confounded many audiences and musicians, it also intrigued and inspired others. And thus was born a sort of schism that to this day still incites arguments about what we call contemporary classical music. Composer Gunther Schuller writes both tonal and atonal music, and has been asked many times to explain what atonal music is all about.
One of the basic problems which we can't seem to get around is that we hear Beethoven, Schubert, Brahms hundreds of times without even realizing it. Well, how many times are you going to hear the piano concerto of Schoenberg? Once in a lifetime? The two greatest musicians in Beethoven's time, Carl Maria von Weber and Ludwig Spohr, played in the Ninth Symphony. They admired Beethoven. They knew he was either the greatest or one of the... But when he wrote the Ninth, they went out of those rehearsals and said, "This man is crazy. He has to be put into an asylum." Now, these are the two greatest composers, along with Cherubini, of that period. For them not to understand, you can see how with anything that is so innovative that it represents a sort of quantum leap forward, which atonality in a way does, anything like that, people are going to find it incomprehensible at first.
Think back to your first sip of something like beer or coffee, and the phrase acquired taste may come to mind. So the idea of committed listening is one that Schuller always emphasizes, and the circumstances in which you experience something new is also important. Gunther Schuller continues.
I always cite the case of a man and wife, and the husband is, a lawyer, and his wife has a subscription to the Boston Symphony, and she says, "We got to go to the symphony tonight." And he says, "Yeah, Jesus, I've had a horrible long day. I just lost a case in court." And he's in bad mood. And he says, "Oh, come on, please go with me," you know, and so on. So he goes. And there's an overture by Mozart, which goes down. It's okay. He doesn't quite get it. But then comes a piece by Bartok, Schoenberg, Szymanowski, who knows. And he goes, "Oh, my God. Oh, God, why am I here?" And, you know, I can sympathize with this man because this is the first time he's heard anything like that. Now, even in commercials, he's heard Beethoven and Mozart, and the language is familiar to us now. I mean, tonal language, let's face it, nobody has any problem because it's in jazz, it's in rock and roll, it's in everything. So now to say that this lawyer, if you want to get into this, commit yourself to learning about it and read about it and listen to it. He says, "I don't have time for that. When I come home from my office, I'm half dead and I want to watch Seinfeld. I mean, you know, that's about the most I can do." And it's that simple, except it's not simple at all.
Not simple at all to learn a new language when you're expecting to just sit down for an evening of musical relaxation. But for our lawyer friend, whom Mr. Schuller has introduced us to, or perhaps for you, there is a way to begin.
When people say, you know, the best way to learn Italian or French is to go and live there for a year. Well, go and live with this music for a year, and I guarantee you, you will at least become so familiar with it that you will recognize moments in it. Oh, yeah, gee, that happened a little bit earlier. And so that makes a connection. It isn't just some wasteland where you're totally lost from beginning to end. And then you become more and more familiar, and then you suddenly find, gee, that chord isn't all that bad. I kind of like that, you know, and it goes on and on, just like with any kind of recognition process. So music is nothing but a language. It is a language.
A language that we learn sometimes in small bites and sometimes in big multi-course meals, but one with fascinating new flavors that, in turn, just might enrich everything else you experience. I'm Brian McCreath for Classical Connections.
Classical Connections is produced by me, Michelle Sweet, at WGBH Radio and made possible by an NEA American Masterpieces grant through the Massachusetts Cultural Council. WGBH also has another great podcast that features live performances from our Fraser Performance Studio right here at WGBH. It's the Classical Performances Podcast, hosted by Alan McClellan. You can find it at wgbh.org/classical. And go there to check out other classical music offerings that we have from WGBH Boston. That's all at wgbh.org/classical. Thanks for listening.